Good day, friends. We again come to you with studies in the book of Genesis. We're at the end of chapter 3. We have taken quite a bit of time on this chapter because of the import of the truths that are revealed in the chapter. Especially in our last lesson, where we were dealing with the fact when man could not fit himself for the presence of God, God himself made the provision. In verse 21, or if I may go back, verse 15, the great promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Fulfilled, I believe, when our Savior came and defeated Satan, or as John, you remember, in 12 says, now is the prince of this world judged. And in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, he became a man that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. If you want to add another verse to that, I would suggest Revelation 1:18. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the authority of death and of hell. Satan, a defeated foe. Oh, the purpose of God for man is going to be completed. And no power in the universe is going to hinder the purpose of God from it being completed. How glad I am that he can take sinners today, men and women like you and me, and transform us into his children. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful that we who were afar off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. So when you come to verse 21, we have where God clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of animals. Sacrifice was made. As Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. See? This man, by one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Provision has been made to put away your sin and to clothe you in the garments of righteousness. You remember, we had that in Isaiah chapter 61 about verse 10. So that when a person accepts the Savior, we not only are forgiven every sin, cleansed from all unrighteousness, but we're covered with the very righteousness of Christ. And hence, coming into his presence, we're acceptable. As the 100th Psalm says, we're not only his creatures, but we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are to enter in his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. And who has a better right to come into the presence of God but his redeemed children? This is what we have in chapter 3, verses 15, verse 21. Now, to close the chapter, we must remember the judgment of God upon Adam and Eve. And the Lord God, verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us. And I take it he's a reference there to him and his son, Jesus Christ, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim. This cherubim had a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So you have man cast out of a wonderful place to live. He was cast out of the Garden of Eden, the Eden of God. Everything which was fitted for his joy and for his blessing through rebellion, through sin. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, that wasn't a very grievous sin, was it? He just went and ate of the fruit of the tree. My friend, let's get down to facts. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is rebellion against God. Don't try and excuse sin. Sin is a damnable thing. Sin, what separates man from God, breaks your fellowship, Christian, ruins man. And how glad I am when you come to your New Testament, to the very end of the book. Do you remember? You have the tree of life. Man is now allowed to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. the last chapter in your Bible. In the third chapter of Genesis, man is cast out of the Garden of Eden, lest he eat of the tree of life and live forever. So man was sent forth to till the ground, the cursed ground, and never again allowed to come in. And yet when I come to the end of the Bible, the last chapter, God's purpose for the earth and for man is finished. Got a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there in the midst is the tree of life. And the nations will eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. And right between Genesis and Revelation, you have the whole purpose of God revealed. Don't you think it's time that we who are Christians ought to get down to business and get to know our Bibles? Don't you think so? We pick a little here and pick a little there, and we miss the full scope of the purpose of God. As I say here in Genesis, you have the seed plot of the whole Bible. In this third chapter, which we're leaving, you have again man in a perfect environment, and man being deceived, failure, cast out of the garden, separated from God, the plan of redemption brought into being. I don't believe that the Lord planned that after Adam sinned. I'm sure this whole thing was arranged, because when you come to the 40th Psalm, verses 6 to 8, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Then he goes on to say, it is written in the volume of the book, I delight to do thy will, O my God, for thy word is in my heart. And that is used again in Hebrews chapter 10, where the writer of Hebrews is contrasting Old Testament sacrifices with the work of Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have such a Savior, and it's a wonderful thing to have such a God who is in absolute control. However men may rebel against him and against his people and against his word, I'll tell you, friend, when this present generation of critics have gone off the scene, the Bible will still be here. The Savior will be still redeeming lost men and women. And the purpose of God's going to be completed. And the time's not far away when the Lord's going to come, sit in judgment upon the world for its rejection of him because of its sinfulness and corruption. The time must come when a holy God, a righteous God, must step into the picture and do that which his very righteous character demands. And the wrath of God's going to be poured upon men. And while it is still called the day of grace, while God is still dealing in grace with men, I would plead with your heart to accept the Savior while it is yet called a day. As the Apostle Paul said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now we're going to leave that and come to chapter 4. Now in chapter 4 we have the story of Cain and Abel. Now here's the beginning of a family. When you come to chapter 4, you have Eve becoming a mother. You have the first family. Human development, and yet you have the first murder. They're no longer out of the garden before you have murder, sin, corruption. You have the conflict of the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. As I said in our preceding chapter, in chapter 3, verse 15, this conflict goes right on clean through till the Lord Jesus comes. Satan is bound and cast into the bottomless pit. That's where he belongs. Now in the first 8 verses, we have a picture of Cainite religion. Let me read it. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel, unto his offering. But unto Cain, unto his offering, he did not have any respect. And Cain was very wroth, he became angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why do you feel that way? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do not well, sin lieth at the door, or a sin offering is at the door. And unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. I just want to stop here for a few moments, if I may. I call this Cainite religion. But first of all, will you notice, both Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve, they both came to worship. They both came to the living God. And there's only one God. They came to the living God. They both brought a sacrifice. They both came to an altar. The both of them were very, very sincere men. They came at the right time. That is, there was an appointed time for sacrifice. And they both knew the results of their sacrifice. One was accepted, and one was rejected. I've gone through that for this purpose. They both were trained and taught what to do. I am sure that in chapter 3:21, when God took the skins of animals and clothed Adam and Eve, he taught them the way of redemption. He taught them the way of the forgiveness of sin. He taught them the way of approach to God. They came with their offering. This is the burnt offering, it's an offering of fellowship, offering of worship. You don't have such things as sin offerings and trespass offerings and peace offerings until you come to the giving of the law. You take all the offerings all the way down through the book of Genesis were offerings of worship, burnt offerings, offering of worship to the living God, the one who created them, the one who's made provision for their fellowship. So I say, when the Lord clothed Adam and Eve, he gave them instructions what to do. So when you come to chapter 4, these two boys came in the process of time at the appointed time. In the process of time, they brought their sacrifices. One was accepted, one was rejected. Now, aren't you, Mark? They were both sincere. I'm not questioning the sincerity of Cain. They both brought a sacrifice. They both came to an altar. They both came to the living God. One accepted, one rejected. Cain did the best he could and was rejected. Abel said amen to God. He obeyed what he had been taught. He brought his sacrifice and was accepted. You remember, you find that in Hebrews chapter 11, about the fourth verse, where we read, By faith Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice unto God than Cain did, by the which he was accepted. Cain's works were evil works. How do you know that? Well, the Spirit of God tells us that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Where we read that Cain's works were evil, intrinsically evil. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he should do and didn't do it. He came his own way. Cain's works were evil. Now, in the same passage in 1 John 3:12, Cain's works were righteous. Now, It doesn't say his works were good. It doesn't use that word. It used the word for righteousness. Abel's works were righteous. You see, it was a question of a heart relationship to God. This is what I want to get to your heart. It's a question of relationship to God. It's a heart attitude. Now let me just for a few moments, let me look at Cain's offering. You see, when you look at Cain's offering, it was full of self-righteousness, self-efficient, earnest and religious, but wrong. Do you know why? It denied the righteous character of God. It denied the righteous character of God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the way thereof is the ways of death." Now let's look at Cain's offering. There was no recognition of sin or the need of judgment. There's no confession of sin. Here you have the natural heart opposing God's way of redemption by blood. He denied the fall. He denied he was a sinner. He denied the need of another. I can go my own way. Like the preacher, you know, on the East Coast who one time said, "I'd rather go to hell on my own two feet than to go to heaven on the back of another." Well, I know where he's going. He's just said where he's going. He's going to go on his own two feet to hell. No recognition of the righteous, holy character of God. And my friend, I must say this. This is true today. And I say even concerning evangelical Christians, we've somehow along the way, we've missed out. We have forgotten, or in some way we have glossed over the fact of the righteous, holy character of God. We have talked so much about the love of God, we've forgotten he was a righteous God. He's a holy God. God cannot look upon sin for one moment without judging that sin. Then how in the world is a man going to stand? My friend, God is the one who has made the provision. He clothed Adam and Eve. And when Cain came with his offering, Cain knew what he should bring. And when he brought the fruit of the ground, there was no recognition of sin, no recognition of the righteous character of God, no recognition of the need of another. He denied the curse of man. He denied that he had, what shall I say, the inability of man. He was religious, but he wasn't godly. And may I remind you, he offered the fruit of a cursed ground to a holy God and expected the fruit of a holy God. Pardon me. He expected the fruit of a cursed ground to be acceptable to a holy God. Again, I say, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the way thereof are the ways of death." He thought that that which appealed to him would appeal to God. It was a bloodless offering. He preferred sin to grace. I'd like to stop here for a moment. In chapter 3, I read, "Cursed is the ground for man's sake." Cursed is the ground for man's sake. And Cain brought the fruit of a cursed ground. He knew that. He was not ignorant. He was not ignorant. He knew how he should come. But he wanted to come his own way. He thought that that which appealed to him would appeal to God. No, friend, he wanted a cover for his sin. He didn't want a removal of his sin. It's a bloodless offering. And you know today what people are doing? People are offering the fruit of a fallen, sinful nature and expect God to accept it. My friend, listen, God couldn't accept what Cain brought. A holy God can't accept that which is cursed. Nor today can a holy God accept the fruit of a fallen, sinful nature. Why, Mr. Mitchell, what can we do then? If I can't do anything to please God, what can I do except what God has done? You know, Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 says, the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The only way you can please God is to accept what Jesus Christ has done for you, to accept the provision. So I'm saying, Cain knew better. Cain had been taught what he should do, to accept God's way. And he rebelled against God's way. And hence his sacrifice was rejected. And we're going to see his attitude in a few moments, or in our next lesson, when you come down to verses 5 and 6, on down through verse 8. You see, the attitude of Cain's heart to God, it was evil. The repudiation of what God had done for him. And I say to you, my friend, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you're rejecting God's provision for your need. You'll never be free from sin. You'll never be free from death, from judgment, from wrath, unless you accept the divine provision, which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just plead with your heart today to put your trust in Him and come God's way and pass from death to life. And the Lord bless you for His name's sake.